Was it poison? Was it out of bounds? An unacceptable risk? She couldn't have said, but she was in a state all day, though she kept telling herself she was being foolish. If anybody in the entire building knew what he was doing, it was her boss. Since she'd come to work for him just over a year ago, she'd never seen him falter. He was precise, cautious, solid, and he didn't take chances with his own safety or his assistants either. Which you couldn't say for all the chemists who worked here. Some of them, she'd heard the gossip, got sloppy as the day wore on, not bothering with their safety goggles, crossing the floor with pipettes of nitric acid or sodium hydroxide as if they were on their way home with a bag of groceries. Even in one case, though this was only rumor, drinking on the job. And who was left to clean up the mess? To accept blame and cover for them if need be? To lie right to the face of the supervisor? Their lab assistants, of course. Who else? Herr Hoffman wasn't like that. He followed safety procedures to the letter always. Whether it was 8 in the morning or 5 in the afternoon. Whether they were preparing the chemicals for the first process of the day or the last. She admired his efficiency, his attention to detail, his professionalism, but there was so much more to him than that. For one thing, he'd had no qualms about taking on a female assistant, the only one in the whole company. And for another, he was no cold fish, but a man with red blood in his veins. He was unfailingly pleasant, even on the off days, always with a sympathetic look or a smile for her. And under his lab coat, you could see the effects of his bodybuilding and the hours he spent training with the boxing club. His hair might have been thinning, and he wore spectacles in the lab, but he swept his hair back like Adolphe Bonjou, so you hardly noticed. And the spectacles only made him look distinguished. Maybe she was in love with him. Maybe that was it. Which, of course, she would never have admitted to anyone on this earth, not even her best friend, Dorothea Meyer. And certainly not her mother, who, if she had even an inkling that her daughter had a romantic fixation on an older man, a married man, no less, with children, would have marched right up the steps of the building and dragged her home by the scruff of her neck. It was April. The day was bright beyond the windows, spring in the air, the whole world singing, and she was in a state. So what if there was a long and honored tradition of scientists experimenting on themselves? August Beer opening a hole in his own spine to discover if injecting cocaine directly into the cerebrospinal fluid would prove an effective anesthetic. Werner Forssmann running a catheter from an incision in his forearm up a vein to his heart to see if it could be done. Jesse Lazier purposely allowing an infected mosquito to bite him in order to prove the insect was the vector of yellow fever. There were as many failures as there were successes. Lazier had his proof, but died 17 days later, so what good did it do him? Or his wife, if he had one. But that wasn't going to happen to her boss, she told herself. Nothing was going to happen to him. He was taking so small a dose of the compound, a mere 250 micrograms, it couldn't possibly have any adverse effect, and if it did, she would be there at his side to see him through it. She'd come to work that morning in high spirits, never suspecting what he had in mind or that this day would be any different from any other.